I thank you this morning for the power of your spoken word. Lord, in the middle of the abyss, in the middle of nothing, you stepped into it and you said, let there be, and there was. I thank you for the power of the incarnate word, the word who became flesh to dwell among us, to model and show us the living, what true love is all about. I thank you for the power of your written word, that you said that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and Lord, that everything will work out for my good. And I thank you now for the power of the preaching word, so that the comforter, which the incarnate word left behind, help us to understand and to interpret your word, so together we can experience and benefit from the power of the fruit of your word. Lord, come now this day and speak a word to us this morning, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you and you alone. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to me to the New Testament Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15, beginning to read from verse 25 to 32. I will just read a few verses because of time, and we can continue the rest of it. Luke 15, beginning to read from verse 25. If you're there, say amen. And now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked, father is come, and thy father had killed a fatted cow, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. We'll stop here for now. This is the word of God. This morning I would like to speak, teach, and preach for the few minutes left about the elder brother syndrome. Let's say that together. The elder brother syndrome. How many of us here are elder, the eldest in the family? If you are the elder brother or the eldest in the family. Okay. How many of you are the youngest, the small ones? So now we see where this is going today. Now, one of the things that Jesus loved to do was to rub shoulders and mingle with well-known sinners, harlots, prostitutes, tax collectors that are very dubious. And this used to anger the Philistines, the Pharisees a lot. And they would question and challenge Jesus, why, if you call yourself holy, why you always mingle with these people who are sinners? And it's one such occasion in the gospel where we are that Jesus taught them three parables all in one go. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, then the parable of the prodigal son. Parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. And even if you failed in Sunday school, you will know the story of a prodigal son. We all know the story of the prodigal son. The one who looked at his father and said, give me all my inheritance because I want to go and explore the world. And he went away, explored the world, finished the money, wasted it on different kinds of things, came back to his senses and returned home. He returned home, his father welcomed him with open arms, celebrated with his friends. Well, it's there we are in the text that we read that his elder brother, who was in the field working, coming back from home, had the music and the excitement and asked one of the servants, what's going on? Sikwasa, what's happening? And then they said, thy brother has returned home and they're making a party, you're having fun to welcome him. And the scripture said, he was angry and he did not go in. I am not going to that party. The elder brother did not go in. So you want, because this text in the prodigal son, what we are always familiar with is that younger brother who asked for his father's money and went away. Then we know about the father of the reconciliation when he accepted him back.
But what we seldom talk about is the elder brother. The question you got to ask yourself is, why would he not go in? Now, this is a story that everybody in here, you find yourself inside the story. I let you into a small secret. Whilst I was doing this text, then I called one of my cousins. I said, you know, that guy who had died, we all owe him an apology. He said, why? Then I preached the sermon to him. He was like, boy, oh boy. Why did the elder brother refuse to go in? This is where we are. So I'll just run through it because he was in a moment of crisis. There was crisis going on, and both of that family, the elder brother and the younger brother, they were lost. Let's say that together. They were lost. Why was the elder brother lost? Why was the younger brother lost? Your elder brother did not go into the party because he was suffering. He was suffering from a situational crisis. He was suffering from a situational crisis. Now, what's the situation? The younger brother, he had a situation of hedonism. Hedonism. He took the money, went out, party, booze, dancing. And you know, when there's money, there is party, there is booze, there is dancing, there is always girls. No offense to all the ladies, please. But he enjoyed himself, finished the money. He didn't do anything useful with the money. He dwelt in hedonism, lavish lifestyle, not knowing God. He dwelt in hedonism. That we know. Now, but the elder brother had an issue. He was home. He did not go to the far country, but he was home. And he suffered from moralism. Hedonism, moralism, and they were both lost. Now, he was home trying to be the moral one, say, I'm not like my younger brother, but he was still lost. How is it that he is home trying to keep all the rules, but he's still lost? Because the gospel that we preach is not about keeping the rules. The gospel that we preach is not about being good, because being good doesn't mean being saved. The gospel that we preach, you see, let me explain something to you. Now, some people got a little bit time to understand, to process that. Because many times we are used to the fact that being good means being saved. But being good doesn't mean being saved. Because you can know all the scriptures in the Bible, but you still have a stink attitude. You can know all the scriptures in the Bible, but you don't love your neighbor as yourself. You can know all the scriptures in the Bible. You can be coming to church every Sunday and still not a Christian. You know why? If coming to church every day make you a Christian, then climbing up a tree will make you a squirrel. So, Jesus is trying to show them this one, that not only you need to be good, because you don't need to be good to be saved, but you will be saved and be good. Let me say that again. Being good doesn't mean you're saved, but being saved can make you good. Amen? So the elder brother suffered from this moral lifestyle, trying to keep all the rules, trying to say all the things. But the Bible said that he was lost. Keeping all the rules, he was lost. Keeping all the commandments, he was lost. Because as I said, the gospel is not to be good and be saved. But the gospel is to be saved and be good. Jesus asked in Mark 10, 18. Jesus asked a question. He said, why callest me good? He said, because there is nobody good but one. And who is that? There is nobody good but one. And who is that? God. In Mark 10, 18. Why callest me good? And so we struggle with that thing that he is in that position where he become a moralist, trying to keep all the rules, but at the same time, he was lost. Because being good doesn't mean being saved. But what the text is trying to tell us, that the glory of Christ in us. It said in Matthew 5:15, let your light so shine before men so that they see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He did not go into the party. He did not welcome his brother back to the family. He would not go in and join the celebration because he had a situational crisis. Next one, he was suffering from a leadership crisis. Now, elder brothers, we know elder brothers have a responsibility in the family. They are the leader in the family, okay? And now the Bible says, if you're still in your text, he was the elder son, so made him a leader. Now the scripture says he was in the field working, so that made him a laborer. So he was a leader and a laborer and still lost. He was suffering from a crisis, a leadership crisis, because in the text, he was supposed to stand up to his brother when he disrespected his father, say, I want all my money. He was supposed to be the leader, but there is no mention in the Bible that he stood up to him and said, hey, what is wrong with you? There's no mentioning that even when he left, that he went off to find him because he neglected his leadership position in the family. You know why? Because he wanted him to go. He wanted him to go. How do I know that? It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. When you go home, you can read it. Deuteronomy chapter 21. It says, he is going to get a double portion of his father's inheritance and all that his brother didn't take. So he was suffering now from materialism because he knows if his brother goes, then everything will be his. So when his brother came back, he started looking like, you've wasted your money, and the one that I'm supposed to have, that means we have to share it again. Nah, I will not go into this party. I will not go into this party. Hold up, listen. He looked at his father and scolded his father, even disrespecting his father, and said, all these years I've been here with you. All these years I've been working with you. You've never given me anything to celebrate, even with my friends. But my brother, who has returned, has spent all the money on prostitutes. Now you're making a party for him. Okay, hold on. Let's check something. The Bible says the younger brother took the money and went out and lavished it on prostitutes and on things of the world. Okay? But there's no mention that the elder brother was there. Let me try it aside. The Bible said, we know that he spent the money on girls, booze, and enjoyment. But the brother was in that country, and he was in that country. Now, we know that because they have this thing in literature where they call dramatic irony. Let's church it together. Dramatic irony. Dramatic irony is when the writer reveals something to us, the reader, that the character doesn't even know. I'll give you an example. Anytime you see Judas, when the name of Judas was first mentioned, there's always a comma that says Judas, the one who will betray Jesus. But Judas doesn't know that yet. But we who are reading, we know. So it's the same dramatic irony that we know what he spent the money on, but the brother was not there. So the question is, how did he know that he spent the money on prostitutes? That's because that's exactly what he would have done if he was his younger brother. So you got to be careful how you judge people, because you judge people because you're not in their shoes. But if you are in their shoes, you will do the same thing that person is trying to do. The same thing that you're criticizing somebody for, that's what you will do if you were in your shoes. I'll give you a story. 2018, I went to South Africa on a short trip. I went to safari. And among the package, we had to interact with lions. So I played with lions, cub lions and the big ones. Touched them, rubbed them, everything. Posted the pictures on Facebook. And one of my mentors, he got annoyed with me. He said, are you crazy? You never joke with those things. They call animal instinct. They can jump and eat you at any time. At your age, you should be responsible. I said, hey, guy. I said, in the spur of the moment, everybody was doing it. So we all joined in. He said, no, don't tell me that. I said, okay. Wednesday is when pastor called me that I would preach. This Wednesday. On Monday, this Monday, then I saw a video of him in a jungle holding stick with two lions in front of him. They are marching like this. So then I called him up and said, whatever happened to animal instinct? He criticized me because he was not in my shoes. Now he's doing the same thing and he even forgot that he actually criticized me. So you got to be careful when you criticize somebody because you're in your shoes. Many of you older folks, you criticize the younger one because you didn't have a chance to do what they were doing right now. Many of you older folks, you are annoyed with your younger brother, your younger sisters, because you could not have that position, what they are doing right now. But if you were in the other reverse, you will do the same thing. He was suffering from leadership crisis. He never looked at his brother to scold him for what he's doing. And this is the problem we have in the world today, because many of us turn a blind eye to things the leadership God has placed, the responsibility God has placed in our hands, but we keep quiet because we know what we stand to gain. We keep quiet because we are not in their shoes. But if you look into it, you will do the same thing that that person will do that you're criticizing. So he was suffering from a leadership crisis. And lastly, he was suffering from an identity crisis. Let's say that together. An identity crisis. Now, if your Bible is still open, it says he was in the field. He was serving in the field. He said, all these years I've been serving you. Now, the word serve in the text is equated to mean slave. So, if you paraphrase, all this time I have been your slave, but you've never given me a pardon. All this time I've worked for you in the field, but you've never given me a pardon. Now, watch this. In his father's eyes, he was a son. But in his eyes, he was a slave. All these years, his father looked at him as a son, but he had a slave mentality. Right in front of his eyes, everything was there, but he put himself down. Christian friends, when God has lifted you up, please don't put yourself down. When God has given you a blessing up, don't put yourself down. Don't go and criticize somebody else because God is blessing them. Now, did it ever occur to him that he could have asked? Afterwards, his younger brother asked for his own. Did he ask? We go around, we grumble that God is blessing somebody else and not us. Did you ask? We go and see how God opened doors for other people, but not us. Did we ask? The Bible tells us, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. All you've got to do is just ask. He did not ask. He went around complaining, grumbling, and said, I would not go into this party. And here his father looked at him and said, son, all what I have here, is yours. All what I'll have here is yours. In other words, why are you mad? Everything is right in front of you. Why are you mad? And this is how we behave sometimes, because we complain about what we don't have, forgetting to thank God for what he has already given it to you. When you were sick, who healed you? When you were broke, who provided for you? When you were dying and rotting in hell, who came down to save you? All we just need to do is just to thank God for the little things that we have. Then you can see. 2 weeks ago, we sang the hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will see and be surprised to see what the Lord has done. If you don't have anything to thank God for here, you have 5 reasons to thank God. If you don't have anything to thank God for here right now, you have 5 reasons to thank God. Number one, he woke you up this morning. Number two, he woke you up this morning. Number three, he woke you up this morning. Number four, he woke you up this morning. Number five, he woke you up this morning. And whilst you have breath, whilst you are alive and alert, you need to give God glory for that. You need to thank God for that. The elder son would not go in. because he was lost in crisis. But watch how it ends. Jesus did not end the parable. Jesus ended the parable abruptly. See, he was lost, now he's found. He's dead, he was dead, now he's alive. But we never know whether he went in or he stayed out. There is nothing in that. That's how the scripture ended. Why? Because Jesus wants you to write your own ending. Because Jesus wants you to make the decision whether you're going in or you decide to stay out. But one thing is clear. The party is not going to stop because you decided not to go in. One thing is clear. Heaven will still be rejoicing. People will still be converting. But if you don't go in, that is your decision. The party will still go on. The praising will still go on. The glory will still go on. The glory and the praise of God will still go on without you. So what is your decision this morning? Do you accept to go in and be part of the party? Or you still live your life in anger, in frustration, in self-pity, and say, that party, I'm not going in. I know we all can see ourselves in this story. So it's a good moment to us to just bow our heads and ask God to forgive us. Because in the redemption story, in the project of the redemption story, no one is left out. God is there standing and say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, waiting for you to come in. Do you receive what he has for us this morning? Are you willing to make the decision yourself to join in the party? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your redemption story. That you came to look after the broken vessels and your arms wide open to receive us. But we have to make the decision to say yes to you. Because whenever we say yes to you, wonderful things will happen in our lives. Lord, we pray for lost souls, those souls who have wandered off to a far country. You are standing right at the threshold, waiting for them to come in. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch everyone here this morning, that they will not be ashamed, that will not be afraid to go forth and embrace the love that you already showed and shared for us this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word, and may this word be a blessing and be a fruit in our hearts. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.